Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event.
Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio here in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike Salmon alongside the beautiful Stephen Julian. How you doing, Stephen?
Was great until you called me beautiful. I'm not quite sure.
Is that not a compliment?
I don't know.
Something wrong with that?
No, nothing's wrong with that. Just very strange. I haven't been called beautiful in a long time.
Handsome. Is that what you were looking for?
Sure. Rugged.
Rugged and good looking.
Intellectual.
Would sexy be a little?
No, that'd be a little too much.
That'd be a little too much. Okay.
Ric Flair-like, maybe. That would be probably the... Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you and your wrestling fandomanium.
Keep it alive.
Listen, we've got a great show today. We've got three great folks here in the studio joining us.
Beautiful guests, right? That's what it threw me.
Our guests. One is beautiful and two are handsome.
There you go.
Yes. I'm not going to say who's who. Tim Dondereau from Dondereau's Kitchen is in with us today. Also, Sarah Babrick from the West Leukemia Research Foundation. Dr. J.W. Mosley with Coleman Middle School. He's the principal there, so be on your best behavior, Stephen.
Well, that's already been blown out, so sorry. I'll start again.
We're already being called to the principal's office. Let's start the show with Tim Dondereau. He is the executive chef with Dondereau's Kitchen, which is located actually on North Millage Avenue in Athens. Is that correct, Tim?
That is correct.
Tell us all about your restaurant and the menu and just to give us a broad overview of the restaurant.
Okay. We are a family-owned, family-operated restaurant. Been in business for a little over 12 years. We're on North Millage Avenue near Prince Avenue, so pretty accessible to much of the student and particularly the fraternity sorority areas of Athens. We're in a historic district, the Cobham District. We got started about 12 years ago in an old house that we restored. We're now in the next door house, which we've also restored, which is bigger. We have two kinds of features of our food. The one that we got started with, which was international, and that was based on my experience working overseas. I'm not fundamentally a chef. I am a chef, but my actual job is medical, and I work at Centers for Disease Control still. But in the course of that, it was tropical medicine and international health. So I lived and worked and visited in many different areas of the world. I was always interested in food since I was a kid. And I learned as much as I could, taught international cooking at various places in Atlanta and now Athens. We got going sort of featuring my recipes originally, recipes that I developed, heavily international menu. That still continues with our catering. But now that we're in a bigger location and have daily fare orders and things like this, we're sort of creative, modern American food, breakfast, brunch, lunches, occasional evening activities, but we do an extensive amount of catering, particularly related to the University of Georgia. There, our menus are heavily international. We love the idea of being able to use local food, but we keep our price points at a point where that's not usually where we get our foods.
So let me ask you a follow-up question to the international, which you're still doing in the catering. When someone hears international, there are so many different types.
Right.
Were these mostly, or some of the areas that most of them apply back to are where you were located, or literally are you now on your menu have examples of all different types? So what are some of the focuses?
We do all kinds of different things. Some of them definitely came from my experience living, we're 7.5 years in Malaysia, Southeast Asia. My wife actually grew up in Thailand, although she's U.S. born. I've had a chance to work throughout Southeast Asia and even in China. We do a lot of Asian, particularly Chinese, but Malaysian, some Vietnamese cooking. I also lived and worked for several years in West Africa in a French-speaking area. We do a lot of French and some West African cooking. But my experience elsewhere has been in restaurants. I was a guest chef at the Cafe Istanbul when they were starting out, so I learned a lot of Turkish cooking. Our best-selling catering menu we call Mediterranean. It's in fact Turkish, which is Mediterranean. But Mediterranean is a lot more approachable to people. We do a lot of Italian cooking. We do a lot of French cooking, but a lot of Indian and other. So,
I'm not sure if this is a question or not, but I find it very interesting with your background. You traveled the world, and a lot of that because of your background, talking about international public health, research, and disease control.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out how to connect the dots to now you're an executive chef.
Well, I've been cooking since I was about 6. My grandmother lived with us, and she taught me to make pancakes, and I was allowed to use the stove, and I've been sort of cooking ever since. I was always interested in more exotic foods than my mother would prepare. She was of Irish ancestry from New England, and she was a very, very good cook in terms of quality of things, but was with 4 kids, always felt anything more than one bowl or one pot was too fussy. So if I wanted anything fancier or more unusual, I had to cook it myself. Then whenever I traveled, I was always interested in getting to know the local cuisines and getting to know people who cooked them and sort of working my way into their houses and their kitchens and hanging out at restaurants and with the cooks and chefs. And so I got a lot of exposure. I collected cookbooks, which I've now donated over 3,000 to the University of Georgia Library. They're mostly all international. So I learned various ways. Nowadays, it's easy to do research through Google, but I got into teaching cooking when I got back from overseas. I taught for a number of years at Evening at Emory, the Emory University Center for Lifelong Learning. I taught at several commercial places, including Chef's Warehouse. I now teach in Athens at a place called the Healthy Gourmet, now retermed the Uncommon Gourmet. So,
it's and the name of the restaurant is Donderos Kitchen. And Donderos Kitchen. Am I still saying it wrong?
You did the first couple times, but you'll get it right now. Dondero.
You don't care how they pronounce it, as long as they show up and enjoy the food, right?
That's it.
Okay. And the apostrophe, though, is at the end. Because as you say, it's family owned. Talk about how many are there?
There are, well, directly and indirectly, there are probably 4 Donderos plus my son-in-law, who's Andrew Pearson. He's our general manager. But my daughter, Anna Dondero, who was a teacher in Athens, is now full-time with us. My wife did a lot of Christina Dondero did a lot of babysitting and freed up the others. And my daughter, Maria, who's a potter, Maria Dondero, did in our early days, we were importing pottery and kitchen and dining room related things. We had a shop as well as a restaurant. And so she was involved. So,
and I would imagine you've taught a lot of cooking. I would imagine the kitchen at Dondero's has a lot of your influence and a lot of your teaching, if not still a lot of your handprints on things.
The recipe books that we developed, the loose leaf books are mostly my recipes. I'm not as involved with the specifics of our breakfast and brunches. Those are created by a couple of very fine young chefs we have working with us. They have other experiences. One of the guys is from California and one's from Georgia. And
And speak a little bit more about the restaurant. So the internet, you know, it started with an international. When you moved, you said when you moved to the bigger location,
right
next door, you kind of the in-house menu, as it were, changed
it
a
did.
Little bit. So it's a little bit more American fare.
It's American fare, but heavily the breakfast, brunch, lunch sort of thing. So breakfast burritos, skillets with either fried potatoes or really fancy grits. Stuff on them, sausage, eggs. We do a lot with eggs. There's an old saying, there's money in eggs.
and is there, do any of the international dishes kind of make its way back on for special occasions or for, hey, I know this will, you know, this will sell on
a, definitely. And we do a tapas night every first Thursday, which is a fixed menu, you know, by reservation. And it's been full the last 6 months or so. We started out with Spanish tapas, six different dishes, but the theme is different every time. For example, this beginning of April, the first Thursday of April, our menu is delightful food from the seven banned countries. Without being political, it just brought to attention there.
That's some, fantastic.
What do we know about Sudan?
Right.
And what about Yemen and so forth?
And food
travels across lines.
There you go. Food crosses over politics, religion, all those other things. Yep. And there you go. I like that.
You talked about your location on Millage Avenue. For those familiar with the area, you mentioned the fraternities and sororities that are right there, and they're beautiful homes. I actually worked for a company, and we were in one of those homes there on Millage Avenue. So is your clientele, do you get a lot of the student population, or do you get a lot of the Athens natives and residents?
We get Athens natives and residents. We're in a historic district. My daughter and son-in-law live a block from the place. They're in the so we get a lot of local people. We are fairly near the Athens Regional Medical Center, which is now Piedmont Hospital in Athens Regional. We get a lot of clientele from there. We do. We get right near Piedmont College. We get some students and faculty from there, less so now that they have their own big cafeteria. But we get a lot of people, particularly on the weekends. You can see this fraternity and sorority groups. And after a football game on Saturday, home game, Sunday morning is completely slammed as people are recovering and getting ready to travel home. And so
either having a somber breakfast or a celebratory breakfast, one of the two.
Yes.
We've been speaking with Tim Dondero of Dondero's Kitchen and also Dondero's Catering. How far, I mean, you're in Athens. How far can your catering get out away from Athens?
We have done occasional ones as far as Atlanta. Okay. We've done some weddings and stuff up in the mountains and miscellaneous places. Yes. Those are more complicated. The majority of ours is in Athens, Clark County, or at least Oconee County next door, Watkinsville and so forth.
But I would think someone who grew up, who's been going to Athens and has known your restaurant sometime in the last 12 years and they end up getting married a few years down the road and they're like, I want Dondero's at my wedding.
We do get that. And they also want Cecilia's wedding cakes, which is right across the street.
Nice.
Tim, this question is actually for Stephen. If you could, because, you know, we love our food and Stephen loves his food. We talk about it all the time and joke about it. So we want to get his taste glands, you know, get him.
You want to do this early in the show?
I want to start, you know, so give us a dish maybe. They say, you know what, if you're just coming in, you're not really sure what you want, this is what you need to get. Try this dish right here.
Well, if you're coming in for brunch or lunch, probably get one of our roasted sandwiches. There's breakfast sandwiches on croissants with eggs and other things. There are skillets that go into the oven there, and they're burritos. They almost always have eggs and potatoes, but we have a really good bacon sauce. We make all our own sauces and salsas and things like this. So there's always things on the side. They're pretty hearty. Fridays, they're always curries too. And so there's a rice bowl and curry, usually Indian, sometimes Thai, sometimes Malay.
He's a good chef and a good restaurant owner because he couldn't just give one answer to that. He started with roasted sandwiches and we ended up with curry on Fridays. So I like it. Well said, sir.
Well, Tim, as we wrap up the interview with you one more time, go ahead and give your exact location. Also, if you've got a website where people can go check it out as well, give the website location.
Our physical location is 590 North Millage Avenue. We are one block from Prince Avenue, which is the main entrance on that part of Athens. It's donderoskitchen.com, and you can see all our spaces, our events, the kinds of things we do. I mean, we do a lot of in-house catering, too. There are plenty of bridal showers and baby showers and things like that.
All right, and Donderos is spelled D-O-N-D-E-R-O-S.
Yes.
Make sure we get that.
The Dondero was apparently a clan name from one town just outside of Genoa in Italy. And all that was my great-grandfather. I'm appreciative of having an Italian name rather than an Irish name if I'm in the food business.
It's a good thing, because if it was an Irish name, you'd have to open a bar.
Yeah, you open a bar and serve maybe some pub food at most.
Great.
Tap a good beer.
Yep. And then there's nothing wrong with that, by
the way.
No,
nothing. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Tim, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
Mike, you let out the secret that's not really much of a secret to Tim and told him that I love food.
Yes, and there's money in eggs, too.
There is money in eggs, apparently. And it's not necessarily bad to open a pub, but when you can open a good restaurant with good food. But I was focused on love, and you got me off that. Love is also what makes a Subaru. Mike, you know this, and our listeners know that they can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruGwinnett.com and join their family today. We've joined their family because we're in the Subaru Gwinnett studios. They can come in and see the difference. Maybe they're already a Subaruist. They can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
All right, Stephen, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio, Sarah Babrick with the West Leukemia Research Foundation. She was on the Gwinnett Chamber Show about a month or so ago. Did such a great job. We wanted her to come back. So,
command performance.
Sarah, welcome back to Gwinnett Business Radio.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Just give us a broad overview of the West Foundation.
So the West Leukemia Research Foundation was started about 10 years ago in honor and memory of Wesley Smith, who is a 21-year-old boy from Duluth, Georgia, and he passed away from leukemia. He was diagnosed in his 20s, and the battle, it's not usually leukemia that actually takes someone's life at the end. It's the treatments and everything that they go through, and it was a very rough battle for him. Still lived a very vivacious, joyful life as much as possible, but at 21, he left us, and in his honor and memory, his family have started this foundation.
And so you are the managing director.
I am.
And so I guess the foundation right now, you want to raise funds and raise money, and that goes towards leukemia research?
Yes. So all dollars raised, we work very hard to keep our overhead low. We actually don't even have an office. For that reason, we want every dollar raised that we do from events, from awareness drives, whatnot, to go straight towards research. Actually, today after I leave here, I'm heading down to Emory Hospital and dropping off. We have received about 57 grant applications from researchers all around the world, and they have applied for a grant through us. So we've received the grants from them, and then we have a medical advisory board through Emory that reviews each and every one of these grants, and then they choose the top few, and then we give out $50,000 research grants July 1st to those recipients.
Obviously, everyone's familiar with leukemia and why we need to battle it and why we need to raise money for those business owners and business leaders and executives that are listen to this show. How can they help? What would you like to say to them?
Like I said, there's so many different opportunities, whether or not you want to be an event sponsor. For example, we have an event on May 12th, 2017 at Sugarloaf TPC. We're having Yacht Rock Review come, and they will be playing a benefit concert for us. It's going to be all you can eat, all you can drink. It's our Pig and Pearls inaugural event. They could be sponsors for that.
Wait, what did you say? Pig and Pearls.
Pig and Pearls. So we ask you, you're going to come and have a fantastic barbecue dinner. But you're also going to dress up. You get to wear some nice jeans, so, but the ladies need to put on their pearls.
Pig and pearls.
Correct.
Okay, I thought she said pig in pearls. You know, you put like lipstick on a pig, you put pearls on a pig.
All I got to was, since you called me beautiful, that makes me the pearl and you the pig. That's where I was. So I, you know.
You heard the barbecue is what you heard.
Well, that's true too.
Okay, I was sorry we interrupted you.
No problem. So yes, Pig and Pearls, inaugural event featuring the Yacht Rock Review Band. And so all you can eat barbecue dinner, but the ladies get to put on their pearls and have a dance the night away.
So when you do an event like this, the people who attend, they normally attend and give a donation, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll have tickets in order to cover for the event cost.
Okay.
And then hopefully from these events as well is awareness factor, just so that more people can learn about who we are and what we do, and that they can, there's so many nonprofits out there. Right. There's so many, but we're very strategic and very, very, work very hard so that all dollars raised go straight towards research. So for those people that are looking to give their money and they want their money to go straight towards right. research, we're your nonprofit. So we want to open up the door for people to learn more about us.
Nice. And so the businesses, not only can they attend and help cover the event costs, not only will there be, I'm sure, an opportunity for people to give, but a business owner can help sponsor
Absolutely.
As well. And those sponsorship dollars will help with the research. So, so you kind of gave a little bit of a glimpse into what you guys do. And one of the things you do as far as the research side, you collect these grants, take them down, and then help them kind of go through the process and then award them. What other ways is the West Leukemia Research Foundation kind of, apart from receiving grants from people in the medical community, what are some of the other ways that you guys are involved in more than just raising the funds and in kind of distributing the funds like you were talking about?
Yes. So that is our main focus. And we try very hard to stay focused on that this is a research foundation. But we are plugging in. For example, we're doing a project right now with Lanier High School with their academy. And we are working with the students who are collecting water bottles. And they are turning those water bottles into flowers by cutting them in half and then cutting them the opposite way and turning them into flowers. And then they're painting those. And then we're going to distribute those to cancer patients. So we're doing that also to working specifically with Lanier High School students to teach them about nonprofits, businesses, management, marketing, all those aspects. But then also to get them plugged in into the community and see what's happening as well. But then to bless the cancer patients, because cancer patients can't, when they're receiving chemo, you can't bring them in a batch of live flowers because that can stimulate other things and allergic reactions and whatnot. But they can have plastic water bottle flowers, and that can bring them joy and excitement. Nice. So we do some different projects like that, but we really try very hard to stay focused on raising funds for research.
And I would assume then the research, this process of grants coming in and different medical people from different facilities kind of asking for money to go down a path of research to find a cure or to find help, that is by far and away the way that it's done. There's not a lot of outlier ways of stuff that's happening when it comes to research.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it comes down to they review these research grants and the ones that
have the most promising prospects,
yes,
I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you have medical people looking at them.
Mm-hmm, that they have background and they have, but we also, because we do $50,000 research grants, we're semi-called incubator grants because it's still $50,000. But in the medical world, it's not a lot. Well, we've had several incredible stories of researchers who have received the $50,000 grants from us, and now they're in like multi-million-dollar stages of research. But if we weren't a part of that from the beginning, there's nothing saying they would be where they're at. So it's exciting to see the growth that the research has come through.
Got a couple of basic questions for you, Sarah. We're talking with Sarah Babrick with the West Leukemia Research Foundation. Somebody wants to donate. What's the easiest way they can donate some money?
Westfoundation.org. That's our website. Okay. You can see and learn about our events and learn about everything, more about Lanier High School, etc. And then right there, you can donate online. And if you want to become a sponsor, click one of the events that you want to be a sponsor for.
Okay. And one of the events is the May 12th, the Yacht Rock Review Concert, and at TPC Sugarloaf or Sugarloaf Country Club, whatever you want to call it, in Duluth off Sugarloaf Parkway. And I was all excited when she said Yacht Rock. I've heard great things about that group because you said you haven't seen them yet. And neither have I, but I have friends that just love them. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to go. And I just checked my calendar. I'm going to actually be out of the country. I know. It's like,
that's a lame excuse.
I know. Well, I'm going to be on a cruise, so, you know.
Jump on the Business Radio X private plane that you have and come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the helicopter off the cruise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it's a Business Radio X cruise line, too.
Correct.
Yeah. What world are we living in? So there's no chance you could, like, push us back a week or anything like that. Because a week later would be my birthday. That would be really cool.
Oh, big party.
No chance?
She'll let me know a little earlier.
May 12th.
Maybe next year.
In stone. Okay, so for 2018,
deal.
We'll push it back a week.
May 19th, the Mike Salmon birthday.
2018.
Yacht Rock.
I want to be up there singing with them. For tickets for Yacht Rock, same, can they, website, is that where can
online,
they?
Online, absolutely. Purchase your tickets online, westfoundation.org. We have a header right there, a big Yacht Rock photo. Click on them.
And not only, so the other basic question I'm going to jump in on, not only is all of the dollars that are possible going to the research, but any donations and any sponsorships, they're all tax deductible?
Correct.
Fantastic.
Oh, great. Give the website one last time, because it seems like that's where, it sounds like we want to direct everybody there.
Westfoundation.org. And if you have any questions or you want to do, you want to bring a group to that concert, give me a call at 770-595-3573.
Are there different levels? Like, I don't know, you know, you go to Chastain, they got the tables and they got the grassy knoll and they got all the different areas. Is the same thing or is it just one price kind of?
One price for unlimited
general
for the
admission.
Night. Correct. All you can eat and all you can drink. Come dance the
and
night
And how
away.
Much is it?
$150
For all you can eat and all you can drink? Now, yes. See, you
and
say
all you can dance.
So you say something like that to someone like me, then it becomes a challenge of, I know this money is going for a great cause, but I want to get my money's worth out of it. So that's dangerous to someone like me.
It can be. But yeah. We're hoping we'll get people there.
That's true. That's a good way to do it.
Enjoy the night, but want to learn about us as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great stuff. One last time, the website is...
I can give it now.
Well,
go for it.
Sure. I'm hoping everybody that listens, it's in their brain now.
So everybody that's listening, go to westfoundation.org and get all their information about the inaugural Pig and Pearl Yacht Rock Review at Sugarloaf Country Club, TPC Sugarloaf.
See how I got it stuck in your brain now?
Well done.
Yes.
But Sarah, I didn't do it. She did it.
Yes. Great to see you again. Thanks for coming in. And best of luck with your event on May 12th, 2017. Next year, it'll be on May 19th, 2018.
Which will also be celebrating Mike's birthday. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Sounds wonderful. Let me
but
know
we want people to come. So anyway, sorry.
Listen, I have my birthdays and again in a phone booth. I bring all my good friends. Are you done?
No. Because, you know, before we get to our last interview.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Before we get to our last interview of the day, I want to remind people that this show, Gwinnett Business Radio, is brought to us by Ferratec. And Ferratec is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware. Ferratec has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more information, visit Ferratec.com. That's Ferratech.com.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much. By the way, did you notice the look of disappointment on Sarah's face when I told her I couldn't be there?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Because it just adds so much when I'm there to any event.
That say she was crestfallen.
Yes. And upset too.
Yes.
And sad. All right.
Despondent.
Our third and final guest from Coleman Middle School is the principal, Dr. J.W. Mosley, probably wondering what he got himself into.
He hasn't left yet, so it's a good thing.
J.W., thank you for sticking around. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Coleman Middle School, you're the principal there. Tell us a little bit about your school and a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk about an event you got coming up.
So Coleman Middle School is Gwinnett County Public School's flagship STEAM school, and STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. So we teach the same curriculum that any middle school in Gwinnett County would teach, our academic knowledge and skills, but we teach it through the lens of STEAM and also through project-based learning, which is also known as PBL. So we work really hard to engage our students in solving real-world problems. So we take a look at the curriculum for each quarter, and we our teachers research different things, our different problems that our students could actually research, and then propose actual solutions to those real-world problems. So at the very end of each quarter, not only have they learned the standards for each of the curriculum areas, but they've also been engaged in things that are actually impacting them in a local community in our world. So we're just finishing up our inaugural year. We opened up in August. So it's been a great year and a great learning for both our faculty and our students.
So I take it then there are things in your curriculum that may not be in other middle schools.
That's correct.
Can you then, if there are students that are really interested in that, can they go to your school if they're not specifically in your district?
So we are a districted school. We have a feeder pattern. Students from Chattahoochee Elementary come to Coleman Middle School, and then Coleman Middle School students then go to Duluth High School for high school. But we also accept permissive transfers from outside of the district. So students who are in good standing and can provide their own transportation can apply for a permissive transfer to come to our school.
What are some of the benefits of a STEAM school over kind of the standard curriculum or you know, what are you hoping that the students will have that they wouldn't have if they didn't go to a STEAM school?
So what happens a lot of time in schools is teachers feed the information to the students over a period of time, say in a quarter over the first 8 weeks. And then students have to regurgitate that information back to the teacher in the last week, either through a major test or through a project. We transform that. And so for during a quarter, students are learning the standards as they work on their quarter project through their project-based learning unit. So by the end of the quarter, not only do they have a potential solution to a real-world problem, but they've actually learned the material along the way, and they've been able to investigate that along the way. So they're much more engaged, and they've retained that material.
Can you give an I'm sure you could, and it's only your first year of doing this at this particular school, but can you give a good example of a real-world problem that a certain students in a certain grade kind of took on in learning about a particular subject?
Sure. So in the first quarter back in the fall, our sixth graders focused on the idea of conservation of energy and land use. That's a huge standard for sixth grade science in first quarter. So they actually built prototypes for tiny houses. So within their prototype, they first all had to design the layout, and that connected to the math curriculum, because in first quarter math, they work with scale drawing, they work with ratios, proportions, so that connects very well to there. And once they did their blueprint, they actually built in a collaborative setting, and it was so in a group of three or four students, they actually built a tiny house where they had to identify ways that they were conserving energy and conserving land and the benefit of that, so that they had to connect the elements of their tiny house to the science standards. And what's really neat through project-based learning is we work really hard to provide outside experts to our students, whether it's outside of our school or inviting people to our school. So we actually had a tiny house constructor come to our school who brought a tiny house, and students actually got to go inside and actually got to experience it firsthand and be able to apply that to their project. Another hallmark of project-based learning is at the very end, every student has to present their work out to visitors, to parents, to teachers, to outside experts, to community members, and they have to be able to explain the humanities behind their project, the math behind their project, and the science behind the project, and how they changed their design over the 9-week period and how they implemented the engineering design process.
The other thing through all this is, as they're doing this particularly big project, they're seeing how science and technology and engineering and art and math all combine in one big project.
That's the whole idea, is for students to be able to transfer information from one subject to the next. So that's another hallmark of STEM and project-based learning.
You mentioned Coleman Middle School being the flagship STEAM school. What's the future for STEAM, and you know, as far as expanding it to other schools?
So there are some plans within the district, but our mission is to take the information and the lessons that we've learned as we've built and implemented this year, and begin to share it with the other middle schools and other schools within the district, so that they can begin. And many other schools are already implementing either STEAM or STEM programs within their school. We're a school-wide program. So we'll be sharing the things that we've learned that have gone really, really well to help other principals in the district.
Now, JW, and we're talking with JW Mosley, the principal at Coleman Middle School in Duluth. As we do the show today live, which is March 23rd, if I'm looking at the calendar correct. Is that right?
You're correct.
It should be. Well, my son's birthday was yesterday, so I figured that out. I've been talking a lot of birthdays today, haven't I?
It's the birthday time in the Salmon household.
Yeah,
apparently. Let's get back on the interview.
So now I don't remember the question. No, you got an event coming up in a couple days. So again, it's on March 25th. Talk about what you got going on.
So on Saturday, March the 25th, from 6 to 9 p.m., we are hosting our Coleman's Bash for Technology Cash. Our namesake, Dr. Brooks Coleman, is actually going to be hosting a silent and a live auction. And our goal is to raise $100,000 to increase the amount of technology in our school. Being a STEAM school, technology is a huge piece of it. And our students use technology every day for their research and for their projects and other things. I mean, we would just like to increase the amount of technology that we have in our school to add to what the district has already provided. The district has been very generous already, but we would like more technology. So that's our goal, to raise $100,000 on Saturday night. And we're about halfway to our goal already in sponsorships.
So at this auction, if I were to show up, what would I know if I go to the West Leukemia, I'm going to eat as much barbecue as I can and drink a lot and dance. What are some of the auction items?
You may not want to sell Steven a ticket for that event, by the way.
What kind of auction items are there that are available for people to come to the event?
So we have lots of theme baskets that our teachers and students have put together. So we have spa baskets, we have restaurant baskets. Some of the live auction items, we have sports memorabilia. We have date night for a year where you can have a date night with your partner for a whole entire year. We have vacation stays at Orange Beach. We have an exterior house painting for our live auction. And then we also have student groups who are going to be performing throughout the night so folks can see exactly what our students are working on at our school.
All right, I got to go back to the date night for a year. What is that? Is that what you're giving them, restaurant certificates that are going to last a year? What does that conclude? I just find that interesting.
That's right. So we've had 12 restaurants who've donated restaurant gift cards. So you can use one gift card a month. Within that's also an overnight stay at Chateau Alain Resort in Braselton. So that it's just a really cool event for a couple.
That's once a month plus one extra one, the overnight at Chateau. That's a baker's dozen. I like that.
That sounds like the perfect gift for you and your lovely bride.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And again, the
are you going to go bid on it for me?
Would you like me to?
No, I'm just, well, I'm, yes, I would. We're, I would love for you
we'll
to.
We'll compete against each other and raise the price.
That's what we do.
That's then the idea.
Perfect. And then we end up whoever wins. So it doesn't matter because the money goes to a good cause.
Again, that's March 25th, 2017. So for any of our listeners that listen to this show after March 25th, 2017, hopefully this thing will be a huge success. You'll do it again next year.
Absolutely.
Maybe on May 19th.
May 19th. You'll have two of
2018. I'll be busy that night. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Anything else about the school or the event that you want to talk about? Because have we had a principal on our show before?
No, which is probably why we behave the way we do on our show before. Ooh. Well, okay. And so today's show is not over YouTube. JW, you are not the oldest doctor that I've ever met in my life, right? I won't ask you to give your age, but you're definitely younger than the two show hosts. How long have you been involved in education?
This is my 12th year in education.
Fantastic. And this is the first year, obviously, being the principal of Coleman because it's its first year. Were you a principal somewhere else before? You come out of teaching or what's been your path here?
I taught eighth grade math for 5 years at Duluth Middle School, was an assistant principal at Duluth Middle for 5 years. And then last year, I was an assistant principal at Arcato Elementary, which is in the Parkview cluster. And then was named principal of Coleman Middle School this year.
Fantastic. And kind of what's your passion around STEAM? I mean, being they didn't just pick anybody. They needed somebody who was going to champion this cause. And STEAM and STEM have kind of been working their way through a lot of schools in Gwinnett County as a kind of program. This is the first full-blown school. Everything is going to run through the STEAM. So what's your passion behind that?
So my passion is that we have to realize that we're teaching a different student than we've taught before. With social media, with technology, kids are engaged in different things than they were engaged in the past. And they learn in different ways. And that's the beauty behind STEAM education and behind project-based learning is that if you can give them a real-world problem that they care something that they care about, they'll be engaged throughout that whole 9 weeks. And by the end, they'll understand why they've learned what they've learned and they'll be able to retain that information.
You know, Dr. Mosley and I have something in common. I also spent 13 years in education. I'm including kindergarten there, so...
I'm surprised you did. I thought the number would be higher if you included kindergarten in there.
I'll tell you, eighth grade was the five best years of my life. All right. I just wanted to get a rim shot in. I got the rim shot from Trey, that was good. Dr. J.W. Mosley, Coleman Middle School. Is there a website or where can people get more information about not just the school, but the event coming up?
Sure. At www.colemanmiddle.org. And there's a contact us link on our website. So we're always looking for community volunteers, outside experts who would love to come into our school and share their career with our students and also give students feedback on the progress of their work. That's really what we really need the most.
And you already mentioned that you're already halfway to your goal with this event coming up in the next couple of days with corporate sponsorships. So any business leaders out there, even if it's past this date, there's always opportunities probably to become a sponsor or somehow tie into the school.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we hope they check that out. Dr. J.W. Mosley, Coleman Middle School, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, well, another good show, Stephen. Very, very different guests today. Usually, you know, typically we have three businesses come in, but today a restaurant and then a nonprofit and a middle school.
I love it.
Yeah, a little bit different.
We've run the gamut today, Mike.
We did. I want to thank Dr. Mosley with Coleman Middle School and Tim
Dondero
with Dondero's Kitchen.
I got your back, Tim.
Thank you. And Sarah Babrick.
Would you like me to finish the show, Mike?
I'm just kidding now with the West Leukemia Research
He just really wants that event next year on his birthday. That's really what it is.
Kind of upset that I'm going to miss it this year.
So we need to remind everybody, just one last thing. It is May 12th, not May 19th. Next year it'll be May 19th. This year it's May 12th.
Yeah. We don't know. We shouldn't even say that. We don't know. okay. Again, thank you to our guests. And a reminder, you can listen to this show anytime you want, 24/7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. This show is also available on iTunes, and we hope you'll subscribe to us on iTunes as well. You can follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. All that good stuff. We're all out there. So please be a fan of the show and be a fan of Gwinnett Business Radio X. Any parting shots, Stephen?
Yes. If I had a fantastic roasted sandwich at Dondero's Kitchen and then I went to the Pig and Pearl, all you can eat barbecue and dancing, I would definitely be ready for the bash for technology cash.
You're all set to go.
Yeah, I need to run to the bash and, you know.
That's a full day right there.
That is a full day.
All right.
And a good day.
All right. Well, for Steve and Julian and our producer, Trey, I'm Mike Sam. Remember, there's money in eggs. And we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
To be the man, you got to beat the man.